Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you? And happy Easter to you, Brandon.
Happy Easter to you, Josh, and to all our Always Cheating listeners out there. Josh, I'm excited. And I'm also, I had a few thoughts coming into this podcast. There's so much happening this weekend where we still have one fixture left to play in game week 33. But not only did Manchester United beat Chelsea, but Star Wars released a new trailer for The Last Jedi.
I've seen the trailer twice. I read the IO9 breakdown of the trailer. I didn't think it was an amazing trailer. I thought it was okay.
The most amazing thing for me, Josh, watching The Last Jedi trailer was my mind started wandering at some point, and I had this realization of, when we get our tickets to go see The Last Jedi on opening weekend, we'll also be dealing with game week 17 of the next fantasy season. And I'm not sure how that made me feel. Yeah. Time passes. Life comes at you fast.
Truly. Yeah, that is too much. Thinking about next season is I'm not ready for that emotionally. Oh, I need 2 months of R&R. I'm going to do like the players do. I'm going to go to Monaco for a month or two. I'm gonna gamble with those big plates that they use.
Oh, the biggest ships around. Are you gonna cry any blood tears like you're a villain in a James Bond movie?
Yeah, I'm gonna cry some blood tears. It was an okay trailer. Just to wrap up on the trailer.
Yeah, our Star Wars talk.
It was an okay trailer if you wanted to see the training montage from Empire Strikes Back delivered through Luke Skywalker instead of Yoda. Like, if that was something that you wanted, then you got it in this trailer.
I was only disappointed that there wasn't a scene in which Rey was actually weightlifting with empty milk jugs filled with sand.
They're saving that for the movie, Brandon. Maybe the second trailer. Yeah, this is more of a teaser trailer, really.
All right, so we were talking a bit about the exciting fixtures of the weekend before we hit the record button. So, Josh, you need me to catch you up on Man U Chelsea.
Yeah, we had babies. So I saw Liverpool West Brom, which is a reasonably interesting game. And then it was baby's first Easter, so we went out for a late breakfast and walk in the park and all that stuff. So I missed the marquee
fixture. Late
breakfast
as brunch, Josh.
That's true. Just saying, I'm like so anti-brunch that I didn't want to call it.
I love the phrase late breakfast. I'm gonna adopt it myself.
I think it's good. I mean, I had pancakes. That feels breakfasty.
That's true. You're treading between the liminal space between brunch and breakfast.
Yeah. So I missed the this weekend's marquee fixture, and so catch me up a little bit. I'm excited about this. I'm not even a Spurs fan, but I'm excited that there's now a real title race because there hasn't been one for about 20 weeks, and now it's really on, right? I mean, 4-point gap. That's not very much.
It is so on. It's so on. If everyone who watched Spurs just absolutely own on Saturday morning, and I mean, for they're perpetually, as you noted on our Twitter feed, in the early kickoff on Saturday, and they perpetually score 4 goals on whoever is at White Hart Lane, no matter who they are. But going into Sunday morning, looking at my head-to-head with you, Josh, you had Milner and Origi versus Firmino, and I came out ahead there with the Firmino goal, and I'm feeling pretty good going into this United-Chelsea match. And, okay, so we'll talk a little bit about how this game plays out in the league and just generally as a football match. But FPL-wise, this game is an absolute disaster for everyone. Yeah. Unless you are the few of the proud that have been sticking with Tony Valencia over the last couple of weeks.
Quick side note, by the way, Milner is the classic example of a 1 week stopgap that somehow has been on my team for like the last 4 weeks. You know,
unwelcome guest. He just won't leave.
You ever bring in a player? He was the last player in my wildcard team, and I kind of had a plan to bring him out the following week. And I was like, you know what? I don't like any of the options. I wasn't feeling Redmond at the time. This is before Zaha kind of, exploded in form. They didn't look this good. Didn't look that strong this weekend. And I was like, I'll just bring in Milner for like a week, and then it's like suddenly like you're doing surgery elsewhere. And Milner is just picking up 2 or 3 points for me every, I can't, and so he's finally going out this weekend. I'm burning 4. There's mark my words, Brandon, Milner will not be on my team come this Saturday.
Yeah, he's putting up Tom Carroll numbers for the price of a Wilfred Zaha. It ain't right. It ain't right. So, you had Robert Huth first on your bench for defense.
Talk about why it was a disaster for fantasy managers.
Well, a huge disaster. Okay, so I'm watching the Liverpool-West Brom match, and in the Chiron ticker at the bottom of the screen, they throw up the starting lineups, and you get to the strike, the sort of forward lineup for Manchester United, and I sort of had to rub my eyes like I was waking up from a dream. Like, no, Ibra.
Yeah.
I couldn't have seen that right. And then I take to Twitter and, of course, everyone is freaking out. No Ibra. So then begets the whole trying to construct the narrative of, is it the Jose Mourinho poison chalice? Is he actually finally succumbing to the fact that he is an old man? Or is it that there needs to be a rotation for the Europa League?
Mourinho said he was tired, right? That he was tired, but he was available if needed.
So reports would say, and I can't verify this, but Ibra apparently said himself prior to Jose Mourinho saying he was tired. Ibra claimed he was tired. So there was sort of a, as far as I understand, there was a confirmed narrative that they were both going for. So it wasn't like Jose was saying one thing and Ibra was mum on the other side. So I don't think there's a conspiracy here. And the fact that Ibra comes on as a sub, I think probably confirms that there isn't anything nefarious happening.
No. That's just that. Exactly. No, there's nothing going. I mean, I think it was probably a combination of two things. One being him genuinely tired. Then with the difficult, second leg of the Europa League coming up. I mean, that came the second leg. I think they're not at 1-1 right now. So, tough game to come.
And also Jose's comments after their draw with Anderlecht, he put a lot of the blame, as it were, on Ibra. So he was saying that how United just didn't take their chances. He basically put it all on the shoulders of Ibra, not that he wasn't willing to take it, but I think maybe there was some sort of conversation that happened there of Ibra was saying, I just wasn't ready for this match.
Right. So I'm sure that's true. And I think the other element, though, is that I'm sure that Chelsea game planned for Zlatan, right? I mean, you beat Zlatan, you beat Man U has kind of been the story of the season. So for them to not see him out there when the lineups are announced, it changes their whole game plan, I imagine.
It is something that you can only really sort of comprehend after the match is over. So the immediate reaction when the lineup is announced is Mourinho is terrified that he's going to get humiliated, so he's putting out a weakened lineup.
That's silly. I don't know. For the Champions League still. I mean, he was talking about how he's got to play his center backs every match until they can't qualify for the Champions League in the league. So I don't think that's true.
So yeah, and I don't disagree with you, because as the game starts unwinding, it's so cliche. It was like a masterclass tactical battle, but you watched that United team play and it was a performance that I don't think we had seen all season from Manchester United. It was a team performance. Paul Pogba was invisible in the best way, in that he was just like this unseen piston in the midfield. Ander Herrera was effectively N'Golo Kante through the entire match. So, there were two sides of this coin, and just catching you up on how the match played out for me, Josh, is it was at once just like this unreal team, a 100% team effort on Manchester United's part versus a Chelsea team that did not look anything resembling a Chelsea team we have seen all season. So I'm kind of caught between, did Chelsea just not show up, or did Mourinho just totally take the rug out from under them? And I think it's a little of both.
So what do you think about Ander Herrera as a, as a fantasy asset? Is he, he's 6.3 million, double game week coming up. I mean, it's kind of the perfect time for someone to show up, as a fantasy asset.
Yeah, I suppose it is, but I mean, what we can talk about when we it's like a Hemingway short story collection, what we talk about when we talk about Mourinho. The rotation that we have been dreading with this team going into game week 34 with the doubles, and right. who do we bring in? And we can't really bring in anybody. We're kind of looking at the defense or Ibra. Yeah. Ander Herrera, while he had a man of the match performance in a season-defining match for United, this does not make a worthy fantasy asset. I think you're sort of grasping at straws if you think that suddenly you bring him into your team.
Aren't we grasping at straws here, Brandon? I mean, we got a double game week 34 coming up. There's one player that you need, right? You need Zlatan Ibrahimovic, right? He's got two fixtures. Burnley away, City away. I mean, those aren't even great fixtures, but I think he's, you know, pretty clearly the captain choice. I think that's anyone who's not being a maverick would say that Zlatan in game week 34 is the clear captain. Then you've got Crystal Palace, Zaha appealing, I suppose. I mean, they're away to Liverpool and home to Spurs, right? I mean, there's a good chance they don't score in either one of those two games.
I mean, and there are a lot of managers out there who are investing in Crystal Palace defense, like Wayne Hennessy or the Wards of this world. And right. I'm really terrified for these managers. I don't know that there's going to be any great return there.
I wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, I what are you looking at in those two fixtures? Like, I mean, okay.
Those are one pointers, optimistically for those defenders each.
Yeah, one pointers, even 2 points. You know, if you're burning four, then if you're burning four, you need at least a minimum of what? Like, assuming you would get two from the defender that you capped. I mean, like, there are defenders who can keep clean sheets this week, though, too. I mean, they're you know, it's a double game week. It's just an odd double game week, right? I mean,
the defense, it's got to be the burger or Manchester United. Right. Absolutely. And Crystal Palace, it's all attacking. And I mean, Jeffrey Ives on Twitter asks us, Townsend or Kabai? If we want to talk about Palace assets at all, Kabai, your friend and loved one, Josh.
Yeah, I hope Scott Gill's not listening. He crucified me for bad day to use that word. But was just so mad at me for picking up Johan Gabay a few weeks ago. I clearly didn't wait long enough. I don't know. It always seemed like Gabay would be a good fit for an Allardyce team.
Yeah, I mean he's a vexing player. He's just got a great pedigree, and he's. I think he's just streaky, and we very well are probably at the end of Kabay's two-match streak. But for me, on Saturday, Andres Townsend looked fantastic. Of all the midfielders there, if I were looking to buy, if I didn't already own Zaha, I'd say Townsend is the one to buy. He looked hyper-motivated. He was not the Townsend that we're often critical of he's just a one-man show, he's always looking to cut in and shoot.
Yeah,
he was more often looking to bring his teammates into it. He looked like a mature player over the weekend.
So. Okay, so let's say you have Zaha already, as I do, and you have a James Milner sized hole that you're looking to fill for this double game week. So you have about, let's say I've got about 6.5 million to spend. Of the midfielders on Man United, Crystal Palace, and Middlesbrough, the three double game week teams, which midfielder would you pick?
That is a very good question. I mean, again, talking about Manchester United, I mean, Manchester United is the most interesting one. I mean, am I going to try and talk myself into Ander Herrera? I just don't think I can.
I think it's easier to talk yourself into Ander Herrera if he doesn't play in the Europa League on Thursday. He didn't play in the – I think he came out as a sub maybe in the Europa League midweek, but he was not a starter. And so, you know, I was like, okay, like Herrera, if that continues, then I think he's a better option. He's only 6.3 million. There's no one Mata, so he probably needs to start. I mean, Anthony Martial, I guess, is an option if you can.
Maybe. I mean,
he didn't even make the lineup, right?
It is. I'm still processing this match. Everyone was freaking out, like, no Ibra, no Mkhitaryan, and every man had a job. Like, Fellaini all the people who are terrible this season look great. Fellaini looked great. Pogba looked great. Herrera looked great. And it, you didn't even notice that Mkhitaryan wasn't in the lineup or that Lingard and Rashford were running the strike force. So, but that what my point in saying this is that you forget that Henrik Mkhitaryan is a guy who's just waiting in the wings. He comes in, and that changes the entire shape of the team. And right. Ander Herrera suddenly becomes totally peripheral to your fantasy squad.
Yeah, and you know, Anders Lindegaard looks like he was subbed off in the 59th minute. You know, only played 63 minutes the game before that. Doesn't have a goal. Jesse Lindegaard,
not the substitute goalkeeper.
God. It's amazing how often I do that. It's like my brain just picks a name. Like, yeah, that's close enough. Jesse Lingard. So no goals or assists in the last four. Has started all four of those matches, for what it's worth. I actually think he started the last five matches, but not producing anything. Maybe he doesn't continue to start. Mkhitaryan's too expensive, and you know, I don't think we can feel confident that he's actually going to play. Didn't play a minute in the Chelsea match. Marcus Rashford. I mean, I know he's a forward and a midfielder, but I mean, two goals in his last two games. You know, he's only 6.5 million, so he's interesting.
Josh, you cannot overstate how much of a disaster it was that Ibrahimovic did not start today. Not because of our fantasy teams in game week 33, but like, so I currently have Ibra in my squad,
right,
and it raises so many questions going into the double, and I think everyone sort of assumed Ibra was untouchable. And now it's like you have these moments at work where you look like steely-eyed at your boss, and you're like, really, you're going to ask me to do one more thing,
right,
knowing how busy I am?
Right.
This whole Ibra rotation thing is like the last thing we need as fantasy managers. It is too much.
It has been a challenging season, Brandon. Very challenging. But
I don't think we can take our eye off the ball here. I sympathize with your saying we really are grasping at straws, for better or worse. But Ibra, look at Ibra, De Gea, or the central defenders, be it Rojo or Bailly. Rojo and Bailly to me are the most interesting. That's the most interesting choice that you would have to make going into game week 34.
Okay, that's a good point. I mean, I honestly think that the Berger defenders are really good buy as well. I mean, that could be a double clean sheet opportunity there, a way to Bournemouth and home to Sunderland.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I definitely agree. So you have De Gea in goal, which right. You would be, I mean, you have to be so grateful that De Gea started today, because everyone was sort of wondering, is De Gea on the outs? You can see him just being out for the rest of the season if he gets on the wrong side of Jose.
I'm certainly a little concerned. I mean, I really wish I had Valdez right now. I mean, you know, I kind of screwed up the Valdez De Gea thing. And, I'm not comfortable with expensive goalkeepers.
It's not your look.
Feel like I'm like wasting my money. This may end up being an all out attack game week for me.
Oh, interesting.
I'm debating that right now.
You still have your triple captain. I mean, so let's just get this out of the way. I think we have a tweet about this from Henrik Sorley on Twitter. Triple captain Ibra in game week 34 or Sanchez in game week 36. So you still have your triple cap, Josh.
Yeah,
there's still no temptation of any kind in 34?
Well, okay. So I talked about this a little bit at the end of a podcast a couple weeks ago, but because not everybody listens to the fourth and fifth hours of the podcast, I'll briefly go through it again.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings Two Towers extended edition of the
director's
podcast.
Cut. Yeah. So I, you know, I'm pretty much, you know, just because I had I had a massive drop at the beginning of the season. That massive drop did coincide with having a baby, and so I'm able to accept it. But I basically have no chance.
That is for anyone listening, that you are now in the Josh Landon spin zone.
So I really have no chance of winning. Yeah, you know, so we have these mini leagues. We have our personal mini league. Which is we have overall points, we have head to head, right? And head to head, we're doing the playoffs this year. So,
boom, excitement. I love it.
I'm excited too. And after game week 35, we enter the quarterfinals, right? So it's quarterfinals 35 or 36, semis 37, finals 38. It's going to be awesome, right? And so hopefully we can all get together and watch game week 38. It's going to be very dramatic. But I'm also in the playoff spots for the AC Showstoppers League. So I feel like my strategy right now is someone who can't, I'm not really that concerned about my overall rank. I mean, it just doesn't really, it's not going to be impressive no matter what, you know? And so, but because I've had this really great, I think I have green arrows in, you know, 9 of my last 10 game weeks. So I've made up like a million spots. My team looks good. And so I've won all of these head to head matches. And so I've actually climbed into the playoff spots for these, you know, for these leagues. So to me, you know, it would feel like a waste of that chip. Like I would only use it if I needed to make sure I was in the playoffs, but I would rather save that for the actual playoff rounds.
I love how much of an MLS fan you sound like right now, making a case for the MLS Cup playoffs as opposed to the 38 game week season.
The problem with MLS, as a quick aside, because I know we haven't talked about fantasy very much so far, but the problem with MLS is that they try to value the regular season, the Charity Shield, and the Cup.
Yeah, and they want their cake and eat it too.
You can't do that. I mean, you just can't value the season anymore, because otherwise it's like, it makes the playoffs not seem as important or something, you know? Like you have to commit to one title. So, right. I don't know. Yeah. It always feels unsatisfying. It's like, oh, you won the playoffs, but like you didn't win the overall points. I don't know.
All right. So your point is here, there is no temptation for you to triple cap on Ibra, assuming you bring him in game week 34, because you're holding your biggest weapons for head-to-head playoffs.
Exactly.
Okay, but can we quickly talk about we still haven't even gotten to the point about Manchester United defense versus Berger defense. How do you feel about people considering playing their triple cap on Ibra in light of the rotation concerns? Okay, so by the time we get to the weekend fixture for United, let's see, they play on Sunday, I think it is.
Yes. So Thursday, United play Anderlecht, and then they play again on Sunday, and then they play again the following Thursday, and then they play again presumably the Saturday after that.
Okay, so you could make a case that, Ibra finally got tired. He finally got tired. He was not tired for a long time. Then he got tired.
He missed 3 games of suspension. You know, I was not expecting to tired after he basically got a month's vacation.
So, but if he's going to miss any match, okay, so now the results of this weekend have been so crazy, right? Yeah. Like, United actually are within touching distance, like reasonable touching distance of the top four. Yeah. Not only, like, the opportunity is almost as equal now in the Premier League to get into Champions League as the Europa League. I think he may be safe for the double game week. I mean, I'm not saying I cannot guarantee that, but I think if he were to be rested, it would be after the Manchester Derby.
I think you're probably right. I mean, Burnley away is also a pretty tough fixture. So I think that you would play him for that game as well.
Yeah, and Burnley away, okay, if you take the Chelsea match as a case study, Rashford and Lingard and, Ashley Young didn't look very good, but they were looking to beat Chelsea with pace because Chelsea is an attacking team. Now, they have a pretty stout defense, but I think Chelsea was probably also screwed up because they couldn't play their conventional three at the back with Alonso getting injured. Mm-hmm. But Burnley sets up completely differently, right? Like, they are a much more sort of siege mentality team. Like, they are not going to be beat for pace because they sit much deeper than a team like Chelsea. Therefore, you would want a big man like Zlatan to be the battering ram. So I think you're right. Like, Zlatan's got to play away to Burnley, then.
Let's agree that he's not a great triple captain choice. Is there anyone in game week 34 that you would consider captaining if you couldn't captain Zlatan? Let's just say that you don't like Zlatan, he's not in your team, you're just not going to play him. Who would you captain? I mean, I'm looking at these fixtures. There aren't a lot of great options out there.
I mean, it does stress the whole.
I think Victor Valdez would be a tempting captain choice.
No, I think if you don't go Ibra, it's got to be Kane or Lukaku, and that's, I know that's a bit boring, and they're both away, but they're both away to. Okay, so I take your point. I take the listener's point that Palace did one over on Chelsea, and they could do the same to Spurs, but I really doubt it. And that's a London derby, and Harry Kane is notorious for scoring in all London matches. Harry Kane, you can almost bet that he will score against Palace. So I would say there's your first choice. And then West Ham, not a great defense. Lukaku is on molten fire, though he's usually better at Goodison Park. But there you go. I think that's second choice.
Yeah, I would be reluctant to captain Lukaku away from home. I think you're right. I think Kane will probably be my vice captain this week. I don't think I'll vice captain another double game weight player after. I mean, I'm certainly going to bring in Zlatan. I don't think you can risk not bringing him in.
Yeah,
and I can understand captaining Kane away to Spurs. I mean, to Crystal Palace. I do think
so.
How
are you planning on bringing Zlatan in? So right now your forward lineup is Lukaku, Kane, Origi.
Yeah, I'm going to drop Lukaku.
Who makes way?
Lukaku. Okay. That's an easy decision as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, he's away, and then they play Chelsea in game week 35, which isn't a great fixture either. So it just makes sense to drop him now.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, the game week that would actually concern me is game week 37.
Swansea.
Watford. Well, game week 36 away to Swansea is a pretty, you know, a pretty good fixture too. But game week 37 home to Watford, if he's playing for the Golden Boot, is a really good fixture.
Sunglasses hut.
But there's no way I'm going to be able to bring him in because I'm going to have to load up on all these double game week players. And so I'm just going to have to, like, just hope that he doesn't do anything game week 37.
There's so much FPL overload right now.
It really is true. So that's for, like, another podcast. So we have – okay, so I was talking about this before the episode started. I mean, if you're still listening to this podcast, you know, 34 weeks into the season, you don't need the structure of what midfielders are you looking at, you know, what forwards. You don't need the kind of, like, topics that we would typically do. I think that it's all about these double game weeks. It's all about, you know, planning for the next 3 or 4 weeks. So let's get right to, and because we're recording on Sunday and there's still an Arsenal match tomorrow, Hail Shooters Super League here. Although I will say there's currently a tie at the top with Anders FK and Sessboom.
Yeah, but can we spare a moment for poor Patrick Connolly, Ita Kapua, who is just his power over the Hail Cheaters Super League is diminishing by the game week. And this week he triple captained Lukaku, which I appreciate the logic, Patrick. But that's very disappointing to get. I mean, we were talking about this last week where I was lamenting playing the triple captain on Aguero, where he ended up with 9 points, but at least he scored a goal. And here, at least Lukaku scored a goal. He didn't come away with nothing.
I thought he was going to totally blank. I mean, that goal came from nothing.
Yeah. It was a vintage Lukaku goal, but yeah, it was a total, like, just like garbage time goal.
So, okay, yeah, sorry, Patrick. I think this is like, it's really hard to look. We were talking about triple captains, and I think we got a little sidetracked because I started talking about, you know, the playoffs and how excited I'm for the playoffs. But honestly, it's hard to figure out what to do with your triple captain if you're not planning to use it in game week 37. I talked about this with people on Twitter earlier this game week, and, you know, because game week 37 really sets itself up well for a bench boost, right?
I mean, for sure. There's just so many players in play.
Exactly. I have, like, both of my goalkeepers are going to have double game weeks that week. So that it doesn't make sense to you, the triple captain there. So if not, I mean, you're basically looking at game week 34. And as we mentioned, Ibra's a risky triple captain option. You're looking at a non-double game week. So, you know, an Everton match at home, let's say. And obviously you can't use it in game week 37 because you've got this, you know, you got all these double game weeks.
I mean, you could conceivably use it in game week 36 on an Arsenal or Southampton player.
That's what I'm getting to. Yeah, right. So game week 36 is the time to use it. And what I would love is for Gabby Adini to have an amazing game week 35 at home to Hull. or even look good in Game Week 34 away to Chelsea. He didn't really do anything in Game Week 33, but you know, it was home to Man City. Home to Man City. It's a tough fixture. So, yeah, I'm thinking about bringing Gabby Adini in Game Week 35. And then if he looked really good, then he is actually, I think, an interesting captain option for Game Week 36, triple captain option.
Okay.
Wow. Well, wait, wow. Wait on Liverpool, home to Arsenal. Otherwise, you're looking at Alexis Sanchez. I mean, he's the only other option, right? Sanchez,
yes,
home to Man U, but he looks so bad right now. So you just need, you need him to look better in the next two game weeks before I could just, like,
yeah,
close my eyes and slap the triple caption on him.
I'm really curious to know how this podcast sounds after this Arsenal-Middlesbrugger match tomorrow. I really don't know what to expect from this Arsenal team.
I don't know either. And I mean, and the other option is to obviously hold the triple captain until next season. You know, you can roll him over now. So,
on a T-Mobile plan.
It's like a skins game. You just keep rolling them over as long as you want.
Okay, let's for fun, Josh. Let's look at game week 38. I mean, why not play the triple captain in game week 38 just to stick it to your buddy?
It's too risky. I mean, if you're a team that is totally, I mean, like, it's very possible that by the time game week 38 rolls around, this happened last year, every relegation battle has ended and every Champions League spot is sewn up, right? So, I mean, I think last year, you know, if Newcastle had won by 5 goals or something, they would have, but they were playing Spurs, right? So, but like everything else was sewn up. And so there was no reason for anyone to go all out necessarily. And you can play.
Josh, we are heading towards a game week 38 in which Chelsea is hosting Sunderland to win the title.
True. But you never know. I mean, you know. So you think, I mean, okay, you think that you you hold it for game week 38? You think that's an option?
Well, I'm just putting it out there as an option. I mean, ultimately, I agree with you that that's putting your eggs all in one basket.
It just seems very risky to save the triple captain until game week 38. I mean, you're assuming that Chelsea will have something to play for in that game week. And, you know, it's possible that it'll all be sewn up by then.
Yeah, it very well could be. Very well could be. Okay, so we have a tweet here from Lojun on who says, even the big Swede is not spared from Mu's rotation. Is Benteke the obvious replacement for him? So you're talking about Gabby Adini, but more in the short term, Palace's double in game week 34. Were you at all impressed with Christian Benteke netting a goal over the weekend?
Not really. No, I mean,
a goal in which he committed a clear foul on the defender.
Yeah, I mean, Benteke is a streaky player, and I certainly would understand the temptation to bring him in for double game week. I mean, especially, you know, if I had the money, the spare money, and it was easy to move Origi to Benteke, I would probably do it. I mean, to be honest, I mean, Origi to Rashford is a move that I guess I have to at least consider for this game, you know, for these double game weeks.
Yeah, that is an interesting one. Again, we go back to our earlier conversation about having absolutely no clue what that starting 11 is going to look like for Manchester United week to week.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that Benteke is just, he's been a little too expensive all season, right? I think his price is somewhere between seven, six, and eight, something. You know, it's a tricky price point. That's like a mid-tier striker price. It's that Troy Deeney price point.
Yeah. All right, Josh. FBL Bandit on Twitter asks, best replacement for Sigurdsson, particularly those of us who already have Zaha. So, of course, going into the Palace double, Zaha is a slam dunk, even though he didn't necessarily look that great over this weekend. But Sigurdsson, can you spare a thought for Gylfi Sigurdsson of his season?
I think it's the same situation we talked about with me and Milner earlier on the podcast. I mean, that for these three game weeks, that price point is kind of tricky. I mean, who would you even – okay, do you really want to double up on Crystal Palace midfielders away to Liverpool and home to Spurs? I mean, those are bad fixtures. And I mean, it's okay to have one, but I don't think I want to double up. Middlesbrugger have no good midfielders, and I mean, I have Darun, so I'm going to play him. But I mean, you know, Ramirez can't stay healthy and probably won't play both game weeks. And who else is, I mean, who else is there beyond that?
I think it's a good time to look ahead to the game week 36, 37, assuming you're not planning to play your wild card, the two doubles in a row for Southampton. We touched upon this quickly in last week's episode, but Southampton midfielders, now there's no like standout option. But you shouldn't get caught in this mindset of, well, Sigurdsson is around 7-plus million midfielder. I had to replace him with some sort of mid-priced midfielder option. If you look at James Ward-Prowse at 5.1, or, I mean, Stephen Davis is now back in the lineup for Southampton. These guys will be getting solid minutes in these double game weeks, and they're going to save you a lot of cash to maybe bring in players, like if you're looking to to get Fit Sanchez in or Hazard or somebody else.
But if if you're going to bring in James Ward-Prowse in game week 34, you have to be prepared to bench him, because I don't want to play James Ward-Prowse away to Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my point is I don't. Yeah, because there's no clear cut option of who to turn Sigurdsson in for game week 34.
Start looking ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Just look ahead and don't worry about it.
Yeah. Or save the transfer. Right. Because there aren't any good options. I mean, I guess, I don't know, Darun. I mean, yeah, if he didn't have Zaha, he'd be the guy I'd recommend. But somehow, like, all of us have Zaha now. Like, in the course of, like, 2 weeks, like, everyone who listens to this podcast has Wilfred Zaha in their team.
Yeah, it just happened overnight. It was like there was...
It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I mean, it was... I guess the price was right with him, right? Like, he came around right at the right time where there were no other mid-price midfielders really doing anything. And he had the double. It was that nobody would have brought him in, but were it for this double in game week 34.
Alex Quintella says, less of a question, more of a statement, I think. He says, time to drop any Chelsea defenders, no clean sheets in like 8 games. What do you think about that? What do you think about Alex's comment?
I think a lot about that. And I don't know if I don't think it's because I'm smarting from Alonso dropping out of the starting 11 today, but it's too much. And I need money. I'm a little short on team value right now. And it just seems so clear to me now that Chelsea, if you're invested in the Chelsea defense, you're just sort of like creating an alternate narrative for yourself if you still think you need to be invested in him. Well, now, we were singing a different tune last week because Alonso scores his free kick and all that, and he's the best fullback in the game or winger or whatever the heck he is. But if I need to make a move and I need cash, that is just such an obvious place for me to go. Yeah. I will be sad to lose him. I will probably want him for game week 37 and won't be able to get him back. But
not just game week 37, though. Game week 34 and game week 36, right?
I guess. I mean, maybe he's still, making poopies in game week 34. He's still got his virus problem.
Possibly. I mean, a virus that lasts 9 days. What does he get, like the West Nile or something? Like,
could be the bird
rotavirus. yeah, I mean, you're right. He could be dying, but if he's healthy and wants to live, I think he'll fight through. And I think he'll probably play most of these matches because the stakes are so high. So then suddenly you're home to Southampton, which, you know, they've looked okay at times, but we just saw them play quite poorly at home to City, who we like had barely talked about at all. But we'll have to talk about it at some point. Not this week necessarily, but in the future. I mean, God, maybe Leroy Sané is your just obvious Sigurdsson replacement, right? Maybe you just bring him in right now.
Yeah, it's a good point, though. Let's see, like, how much does Sané cost right now? I feel like he's considerably more. Isn't he up in, like, the 9 million bracket? Oh, no, he's 7.6 million.
Yeah, it's like the same price as Siggy.
5.3% ownership. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good shout. Yeah, he seems locked into that starting 11. Looks very good.
I mean, yeah, I think that he's like, yeah, that to me is like, because Siggy is what, 7.6? And what did you say Sané was?
He is also 7.6.
Right, so maybe that's your answer is you just ignore the double game week and you bring in Sané. I mean, it's, Yeah, because, okay, so Man City's fixture is, not to get too sidetracked here, but they play Man U at home, which is fine. They'll probably score a couple goals in that game. Away to Middlesbrough, home to Crystal Palace, and then double game week at home, Leicester-West Brom. Now, he might rest one of those games. I mean, you know, it's definitely possible, but I don't really know why he would. I mean, they're not going to rest him for the Man U game, right? Because it's the Manchester derby. And then after that, even if they win the FA Cup semi, the final won't be until the season's over. So I don't think you'd rest him at any other point either. So I don't know. I mean, I think he's pretty safe.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good pick. It's a good Siggy replacement.
Good. All right.
It's settled then.
It's settled. Yeah. Leroy Sané. Okay. So let's.
So Chelsea defenders, were you're sticking. I'm uncertain.
I'm sticking. I mean, I'm reluctantly sticking. I mean, it does suck to have that much money tied up in a, and I got Alonso late, you know, so I kind of missed out on a lot of the cheap early. I mean, he was never that cheap, right? I think he was like, was he at 6 or 6.5? Yeah, so he didn't even go up a full million at any point. I mean, which is kind of, you know, given the returns that he produced, he really probably should have.
Okay, Josh, we have a tweet from David Fellheim who says, I need a Christopher Walken impersonation as an inspiration pep talk for the rest of the season. Made some bad decisions lately. Josh, can you do a Christopher Walken impression?
Yeah, I can't do impressions, Brent. I'm going to leave this one to you.
Let's see. I can try. I'm not one for impressions either, but going back to our two guys, one microphone, no topic podcast days. I mean, all I can think of is Christopher Walken's speech in Pulp Fiction where he talks about, you know, holding a watch up his ass for how many years.
Right.
It's sort of like, David, you need to get it together, man.
Something else.
That was pretty spot on, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something else. That's what I mean. It was something extraordinary.
It was like I was having an out of body experience there.
David, as you can tell by this weird, like, agonizing podcast. Really, this week, but every week, Brandon, right? There's a lot of agony in this podcast. It's a tricky stretch, right? I mean, it's for everybody. And I mean, he's a good manager. I you know, we've talked about his team and before. I mean, he'll navigate it. I mean, we have confidence in David. I have more confidence in David than I do in, you know, I don't even know.
Me?
Some, you. Yeah, exactly. Or many of the managers in our own league.
whoever is in the Hail Cheaters League positioned at 1,242, we're looking right. Squarely in your direction.
Dojo the Mofo says, do you think Hazard, Sanchez, Elliott, Kane, and Aguero are all essential for game week 37?
Oh, man. I mean, if I could have all those guys, I absolutely would.
Yeah. I think it's too early to... I mean, I don't want to just totally, like, cop in this question, but I mean, Sanchez probably isn't essential. I mean, but the thing is, you're probably going to have him for game week 36. Although,
yeah,
do you drop him before a double game week? Could you do that? I mean, that would be a way to Stoke, home to Sunderland. No, you can't do it.
It is undeniable, despite the form that Arsenal is in and Alexis Sanchez, you are getting four games in two game weeks from him. You have to have him. I mean, yeah. I'm planning to wild card into game week 36, and unless Alexis Sanchez does something really weird, I mean, just look bad, he has to do something weird.
I mean, if he blanks in game week 34 and then blanks again in game week 35, so that would be five consecutive game weeks where he blanks. Even then, would he be the first guy on your wild card team?
Yeah, I think he still would be the first guy. I think the biggest red flag I would be looking for him going into game week 36 is what type of rotation is Arsene Wenger doing. If there is a lot of rotation, then maybe I'm thinking, well, all is lost and Wenger is just going to give some of the younger players a run out.
He plays with a small squad. They're going to be pushing for the Champions League. I don't think we're going to see a lot of rotation. And Alexis isn't a rotating guy in general. So I don't know. I mean, I wish there was another, at least a secondary option on that Arsenal team for game week 36. I mean, They all seem so bad. I mean, Ozil has just... You could bring him with any confidence. I certainly don't want to drop a Spurs player to bring in Ozil. Maybe Theo Walcott, depending on what he does the next couple weeks.
I mean, Ozil had one good match week. It was two match weeks ago, and yeah, that is not enough. Like, he's been woeful for a large part of the season, apart from that match week. For me, if it's anybody apart from Alexis Sanchez, maybe you're bringing in Mustafi or some other nailed on defender.
Yeah, but I think it's a tricky one. The players that he named, what, Hazard, Sanchez, LA, Canada, I mean, that's like 65 million pounds or something like that. I mean, it's hard to even feel a team if you have all five of those. So yeah. Sanchez is the one you probably have to have because of the back-to-backs. I can't imagine not having Harry Kane. And Aguero, I mean, Aguero is just so expensive that I probably won't end up having Aguero in the end. I'll want to have some Spurs player, but I don't think it's going to be Aguero.
Any City player. Yeah, I dumped Aguero to get Harry Kane in this week, and it worked out for me. But again, he scored. He's in good fighting shape. I feel like we don't have enough information to say definitely then that Gabriel Jesus will threaten Aguero into game week 37.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Aguero is sort of in that Ibra position prior to the Chelsea match today, where he just looks incredibly fit, and he's playing 90 minutes every match, and Aguero is a striker that Pep is just going to drop into the lineup, no questions asked at this point. So long as
isn't Gabriel Jesus about ready to come back, though? That is the other concern. I think that he is.
So they say. I don't know. I mean, I guess.
All right, let's quit talking about game week 37 because it's too far away. It's too many other questions and injuries that can happen. Okay, Siggy replacements. Double game week differentials. I think we've talked about this a little bit already, but Gio asked this on Twitter.
Yeah, so I guess this brings us back to Benteke. I feel like Benteke is a pretty big differential. Is Palace attack might be where you get your biggest bang for differential buck. Though I think we'll probably both end up agreeing, Josh, that Middlesbrough is really where you have to be shored up to protect yourself.
Well, I don't even know if I'd go that far. I mean, I'm okay not having a Middlesbrough defender, just because I don't think they're very good, and it wouldn't shock me if they conceded in both their games. I guess it'll be interesting to see how they play against Arsenal. I mean, if it looks like, you know, if they win that game, or if they, even if it's just like a 0-0 draw, and you just feel like this team is like a fortress, they can't lose at home, then, you know, maybe you do need to have a defender. I mean, there's plenty of options, right? I mean, so let's look at if you had to pick one defender, let's exclude Victor Valdez, who is a great option and definitely someone you should look at bringing in if you can. But who would you want from a defender? I mean, George Friend?
No, I think Gibson is the easy answer to that. He's the most nailed
on.
Friend
even healthy? Yeah, Friend isn't playing like.
Yeah, no, Friend isn't healthy. I mean, so there's Gibson and there's Berrigan, who has also been pretty nailed on recently. He's much cheaper at 4.4. But then, I mean, Berrigan is a guy who could be subject to rotation later in the season. But if you still have your wild card, you're looking to play it coming out of game week 34, then bring him in the short term.
Fabio actually hasn't played the last three game weeks. I clearly haven't done my research on these. I mean,
you don't get your daily your program guide, match day program guide from the Middlesbrough pitch whatever. What is the name of the Middlesbrough pitch?
I can't remember, actually.
Burger Town? There's a cheeseburger in paradise.
Cheeseburger in paradise. So, I mean, a lot of the defenders are injured right now. I mean, this is a team that did concede 4 to Hull not too long ago. So I don't want to oversell this. If you can do it, I certainly wouldn't. Like, if I've already burned 4, I'm not sure I'm going to burn 8 to bring in a Middlesbrough defender. I mean, I just don't feel that confident.
Yeah. It's true. I guess this doesn't qualify as differential.
Yeah, I wish I had Victor Valdez. He's the only guy I'd really be excited about having.
So beyond that, I guess you're looking at somebody who doesn't have a double game week as a differential, and there are some very unappealing fixtures.
Maybe under Herrera. I mean, it feels like less of a differential now that he's picked up a goal and an assist, but I think he might be playing in that Juan Mata role.
How is it not a differential? Who's bringing in Ander Herrera?
I'm just saying that, like, it's not like if I had said Ander Herrera before he picked up a goal, assist, and 3 bonus points, I would look like more of a gambler. Now that I'm saying this, now that he just, you know, he looked fantastic.
I'd say you still sound like a gambler.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, he's cheap. $6.3 million.
Easy. I love it, man.
Easy. Yeah, played the last 3 game weeks. So, okay.
You got to know when to hold them.
One last question here, Brandon. Chico Fernandez says, Los Spurs as Caliente. Is it too much to have Kane, Dele, and Eriksen? Essentially, is having 2 mids and their striker overkill?
No way. It's not overkill. They are the most high-flying team in the league. Go for it. And score FPL points.
We ended that one on an easy note. I agree. There's no all right, Brandon, let's take a quick break, and then let's look at game week 34. You know, we've already talked about some of the key questions, so I'm actually going to set a timer, and let's see if we can do all of game week 34 in 5 minutes. All right? 5-minute countdown.
Okay, I'll brace myself.
Lightning round. Same old podcast, always cheating. Brandon, we're back. Game week 34. I've started the timer. Let's get going. Bournemouth, Middlesbrough. First double game week of the week.
0-0 draw.
I think Bournemouth wins 1-0. I think Junior Stanislaw continues his run.
How much does it stick in your craw that Junior Stanislaw just miraculously appears back in the Bournemouth starting 11.
Oh, did I say Junior? It's funny that I even said that. Of course, I meant Josh King. I woke up a little early this morning, Brent. I got to tell you, so
did you not see that Stanislaw started?
I
over
did
the weekend?
See. I know, but
there he is, just to mock you.
Got subbed early again, of course. Hull Watford.
Hull wins 3-1.
Okay, 3-1 Hull. That seems ambitious. Watford actually looked pretty good. I mean, for their kind of slightly anonymous team, they've looked surprisingly good. But
Eddie
and
Kapu back on the score sheet.
Back on the score sheet.
Like it's game week 4 all over again.
Yeah. So Watford, you would think they were on the beach, but they continue to play well. I think Watford wins this game 2-1.
Now, Marco Silva have the whole boys ready to play. They're going to blow Watford out of the water.
All right. Swansea Stoke.
Swansea, I think that the story is over for Swansea. It's always bad news when Arnautovic starts scoring because he tends to start sort of do like 2 to 3 week spurts.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think he has a very good chance of scoring, but I think Swansea find a way to win. It's such an important game for them. It's really essential.
I mean, we'll see. Stoke had huge guys scoring. Shaqiri, Arnautovic, and Peter Crouch. These are all guys that can crush you. So that Crouch is my concern for Swansea. You. I pick Stoke here.
Peter Crouch, amazing that he's still crushing fools. sorry if you can hear a baby in the background, by the way. West Ham, Everton.
Everton wins 3-0. Everton keeps a clean sheet.
Wow, I think it's closer to a 1-1 draw. I think I do not like the look of Everton's defense right now without Seamus Coleman. I thought what Ashley Williams was kind of shaky.
Wait, I'm sorry, who?
I thought Ashley Williams was kind of shaky in this match. I mean, I know he picked up a bonus point, but I didn't think he looked that good.
What about Phil Jagielka, 3-3, doing cartwheels?
It's crazy. It's a Stephanie in our league actually has him, too, which is amazing.
His value went.
Jagielka.
I can't believe his value jumped up midweek, and people are just jumping on this Jagielka bandwagon. And it was peculiar to me, given that Everton have no doubles coming up. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Burnley, Man United.
By the way, I thought Holgate looked really impressive.
I thought so too. He actually should have had an assist late in that game
and a goal. He had a shot in the box.
He did. Was it saved or a little? I can't remember what it was. If he put a little more on it, I feel like he would have scored.
I think the keeper got low and saved it.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, we're on to Sunday. Burnley, Man United. I think Man United continues their run. I mean, they might be a little tired. It really depends on the Europa League. It's kind of like. Kind of like Leicester, where if they win the Europa League game, I think they move on to the semis. Maybe they're a little amped up and they run 2-0 over Burnley.
Agreed. If they win that second leg of the Europa match and compounding coming off of this win against Chelsea,
yeah,
I think they will just move into turf more and steamroll Burnley.
We've only got a minute left here, Brandon. Liverpool, Crystal Palace. Oh my God,
we're not going to do it. Firmino hat trick.
Okay. I think Origi finally gets in the score sheet. I guess a 3-0 Liverpool win.
I am not big on Origi here.
I know. I thought he looked good, but he didn't look like he was going to score. Although he actually did score. It was ruled for offside, though. Close call.
Yeah, that's true.
The right call, though. Chelsea, Southampton. God, hard game to predict now, given Chelsea.
It really is. I love this match because Southampton is just a meaty, hardy team, and mm-hmm. Chelsea is kind of flailing at the moment. Yeah. And you would assume Chelsea's going to bounce back here, particularly because they're at home. So I would pick like a 3-1 victory for Chelsea.
Yeah, I think maybe
a clean sheet.
That sounds about right. Arsenal, Leicester. I think Arsenal bounce back in this game, but Jamie Vardy gets his goal. Just to remind Arsenal what they lost. 2-1 Arsenal win.
I like a Mahrez goal in this game. Okay. As another reminder to Arsenal. But yeah, I think Arsenal do win. Oh my God, time's up. We've got three matches left.
We'll do 1 minute of extra time here. Middlesbrough hosting Sunderland. A true six-pointer, although Sonnen's probably already down no matter what happens.
Oh my God. I want Berger to just totally annihilate Sunderland.
With what players? I mean, we didn't even talk about Alvaro Negredo, but how can you even bring him in? Yeah, there's just no one who's exciting in that.
You can't. I'm so disgusted by Sunderland this season. I just want them to be buried now.
Both teams, really. I want both teams to go down. 0-0 draw.
Agreed. Yeah. Moving on. Palace host Spurs. So Spurs, Palace will put up a fight probably 30 minutes or so, and then the floodgates will open, and Harry Kane will probably get a brace, and it'll be another high-flying day.
Yeah, late Dele Alli goal. Yeah. So 3-0 Spurs. That seems about right to me.
Yeah. And then the Manchester Derby. Predictions? Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have predicted 2-0 Man U Chelsea, so I feel like I'm kind of in the same position here. I guess I'll predict like a 2-1 Man City. Man City have looked really good the last couple of weeks.
They have. Yeah, you have to give City the upper hand. Just it being a home match. I'd say 2-2. I think it's going to be very tight.
Yeah, well, I think that's... Yeah, 2-2 is my initial thought, and I thought, I think Man City find a way to win. Brandon, that's your lot. Where can you find us?
You can subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast at iTunes, where you can rate our podcast and leave a review if you like what you hear. Find us on SoundCloud, where you can follow us, comment on our episodes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn. You can also find us on Pocket Cast, Josh.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, good, good. And you can follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters, HAILCHEATERS, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. And you can email us, HailCheaters@gmail.com. You can also support the podcast on Patreon. We're actually talking about we want to do one last special pod this year, and Brennan and I are actually talking about guests right now. So if there's
someone, it's going to be some good guests.
We have a good idea, but if there's someone you really want us to do as a Patreon exclusive interview, send us an email or find us on Twitter and let us know.
All right, Josh, go tend to your beautiful little cherub baby, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Hail cheaters.
And Bakani forever, even on the bench.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.